Our guest on our program at this time is State Senator Jesse Green. A little legislative review for us today. And Senator, thanks for taking some time to visit with us. It's kind of been a little hectic here this season
it's,
so far.
Great to be with you. A lot to talk about. Quite a bit of new news.
Yeah, well, I know this week, outside of the cold, you guys made it back and forth okay. That was good. Didn't want to have anybody getting stuck out there. But we have had a lot of different things going on with the legislature. And I'm just going to go one of the first things I know on the Senate side, because Senate and House, you both got things that are going on. But on the Senate side, we did see that there is a group that are looking to do a constitutional amendment, or actually make a change on a constitutional amendment, I guess might be the better way to say it. That's good.
So the big news this week, and as you alluded to, there's kind of two different worlds down there. There's the Senate world, and there's the House world, and within those frameworks, there's different conversations that take place. But this week, the big news was SJR 6. It's a constitutional amendment that I helped come up with and sign off on with 17 other senators. And what this amendment would do is, if passed by two different assemblies, it would go to the voters in 2028 to replace the Iowa Water and Land Legacy Amendment that was voted on in 2010 to replace that with the property tax trust fund, which would go, that would be 3/8 of a penny if we raise a sales tax, would go directly towards education and relieve property taxes on that side of things. And there's a whole host of reasons of what has brought this to light. First and foremost, a lot has changed since 2010 when Iowans voted on IWIL. It was Governor Reynolds, the very first bill that she signed was the Nutrient Reduction Strategy, Senate File 512 in 2018. And since then, we have appropriated close to $90 million a year for water quality and conservation, outdoor recreation items. And so those efforts weren't in place prior to 2010 when voters voted on IWIL to begin with. And so the other thing that's changed is the huge property tax concern that's on front and center on everybody's mind. And in my worldview, I don't see how else we can provide a real strong property tax relief immediately without raising the sales tax. And a lot of people are hesitant to raise the sales tax when 3/8 of a penny would go right away to IWIL, which, to put that in perspective, that's $260 million. And I think when it was initially thought of, this IWIL amendment back in 2010, I don't think that people put in perspective what happens with inflation and the growth of our economy and how much money that could potentially go to these efforts, because it can only be spent on specifically water quality and a few other issues.
Sure.
And so there's a lot of concern, like if $260 million a year is going to that trust fund, how can we spend it all? And so there's got to be better ways that we can go about tackling these issues rather than keep an IWIL around.
Mm-hmm. I know. So basically, you're looking to get that amended to change it towards more property tax relief?
If this passes, the voters will have the opportunity to put in a new constitutional amendment that says that would replace the IWIL component trust fund with a new property tax trust fund, and they would have the opportunity to vote on that 2028.
Yeah, because we know again, just cost of everything has been continuing to go up, and that's why people's property taxes keep going up is. Kind of all the inflation things that go in there. Again, on the IWIL part, and I did want to go back to you and talk about nutrient reduction strategies. We have seen, and again, what was intended when the governor first signed that, we're seeing, again, that's a growing, living, dynamic process. And I know there are still groups out there that are against confined animal feeding operations and doing other things like that. But it is an effort that is continues to advance, and it's kind of like a living program.
Certainly, so there's water quality is not a partisan issue. Both Republicans and Democrats believe that we can do better when it comes to water quality, but let's realize where we've come from. Just in my lifetime, since the mid-1980s, we have seen a decrease of 47% in soil erosion. Since the nutrient reduction strategy was first implemented in 2018 by Governor Reynolds, we've seen a drop in phosphorus levels by 30%. And the goal of the entire goal of the reduction strategy was 29% for phosphorus. So we've almost hit that target. I do believe that we still have a nitrate problem. You can kind of go out there and find a study that supports whatever your feelings are.
Sure.
But between 2014 and 2021 in the Des Moines River and Raccoon River watersheds, we saw an 80% decrease in nitrates, but you could also say that during that time it was kind of a dry period as well, so that would be a component to that. I'm sure somebody could find a study that shows that there hasn't been any improvement in nitrates, so I'll just concede that point that there's certainly more that we can do with that. So you're right, this is an effort that's ongoing, and the question becomes how much money do we need to throw at this, and what's the most responsible way to do it.
So on your legislation that you're working on, this, again, would be constitutional. So, again, you're looking right now, at least you've got, half of the senators are on board on this, about 17 of you, and trying to move this forward. How do you feel about this? How's it going?
Oh, I'm pumped, Jim. I mean, to get 17 senators to sign off on this, that's a serious message. But the hard thing about this is that when you get to when you look at the whole property tax conversation as a whole, there's quite a few different opinions as to how to tackle the near term. So, like I said, this constitutional amendment would be first voted on by the people in 2028, and it might fail. You know, maybe people don't want to replace mm-hmm. Iowa. And so we can't just lean on this as the only thing that we talk about in regards to property tax. So I anticipate that you'll see another property tax bill come out this year that deals with the immediate effects. But in my mind, I think Iowan voters want some big property tax relief, and they want it now. And I don't see how we can do that without raising the sales tax.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you know, and you've said it before, when we do some, again, you were talking about it when they were talking about eliminating income tax. Concerns about what kind of impact that has, because whatever action you take, there's going to be some sort of a reaction.
Yeah.
All right. Other things that you've been working on besides this, other highlights?
Well, this kind of definitely sucked the air out of the room for me and in my mind this week, but there's a lot of bills coming out of state government and education, and the casino moratorium issue is now behind us. That was a divisive issue within the Republicans and Democrats. I would say about half of Democrats and half of Republicans thought one way or the other. And so ultimately we decided to not act on extending the casino moratorium and to allow the Racing Gaming Commission Board to vote how they saw fit on a new casino in Cedar Rapids. And I was actually a little bit surprised that the gaming board approved that license for Cedar Rapids, because in my mind, I do believe that we have probably too many casinos in the state. But again, that's everybody has a different opinion on that. Nevertheless, I'm glad that issue is behind us, because it was taking up a lot of energy and conversation at the Capitol. So now we can move on to other things. Education funding, we're getting close to an agreement. The House came out with 2.25% increase with some other goodies on the side, and the Senate was at 2%, so we're not too far apart. But even just a quarter of a percent is just a ton of money in the large scheme of things. I think the difference between the two proposals would be something like $50 million. And $50 million is a lot of money. I mean, that's, as we were just talking about with water quality, that's about half of what we're spending right now in water quality. So each quarter of a percent on education funding is huge. So hopefully we wrap up that conversation soon.
Is education the biggest part of our budget bill, our budget that we have in the state? I mean, not just K-12, but K-12 and all the way up through the higher education?
Yeah, it's about roughly about 56%, and it's been that way for quite some time. And of course, that's just the state portion. The local portion is roughly a little over $3 billion as well on the property tax side of things. So so it's certainly a top priority for everybody. But there's one key element in there that I've been having a direct say on this year, and that's continuing our reorganization incentives for schools that want to consolidate. I have one school in my district that is in the middle of that process, and they want to see that pass in order for them to complete it. That's down in Guthrie Center Schools.
Sure. Yeah, and I saw that was one of those things. Those are some of the things, again, that a lot of people don't see. So much of the routine business that you guys have to do, you have to, and it takes time to do all that. I mean,
I think it's actually in code that within a month after session starts, we're supposed to give an SSA number, and it's just crazy how fast time goes down there, and there's just so many different issues that comes up that it takes away our attention, and when you're dealing with that kind of money with education funding, it's kind of a tough thing to negotiate because everybody else has their priorities as well. When I talk to superintendents and stuff like that, most of the time they appreciate the timing of us getting a firm number out to them so they can plan their budgets more so than necessarily the amount of dollars that could be.
Okay, do you have any other things that you particularly were working on and kind of focused on besides the amendment bill, the constitutional amendment?
Yeah, so one of the education bills that's I'm floor managing is in regards to U.S. civics. I have a bill that would require to be able to get a diploma that a student gets 60% or better that on a test that immigrants have to take in order to become citizens in the United States. It's just a 100-question test that's already kind of formulated and. The House has a companion bill, and it sounds like we've come close to getting on the same page. And Jerry Bain, Senator Bain before me, was always a huge advocate for civics education. And for some reason, all these years, it seems like the Senate would pass out some of these initiatives, and it would die in the House. But now there's just such a huge change over in the House, and there's a kind of a change in philosophy over there as well. But to me, it's really sad that only a third of our population, some studies show, know the three branches of government. And I think that's one of my biggest concerns going forward is you can't have a more civil society unless we all can appreciate and have common knowledge of what makes America special and what makes Iowa special. And so here's here's one way to ensure that we raise the standards of the students that we're putting into the society.
Well, we got a couple of weeks till the first funnel. How busy is it going to be getting for you down there?
Yeah, you're right. It's basically 2 weeks left. From what I remember, usually the week before funnel week is kind of the biggest week to get some of these bills out. So next week I'm going to have a lot of subcommittee assignments and with the goal of trying to get them out of committee to survive funnel. And then after that, you'll see a lot of floor debates. So with the committees that I'm on, there's just a lot of big bills coming through judiciary, state government in particular, and education. And so I look forward to seeing what survives.
Yeah, and so listeners know, we're not talking about budget bills. A lot of these are just policy-type bills and things that are going on. Budget-type things, again, that there's no funnel for that, so that'll be...
No, and actually, in my little dream world, I wish we were like a few other states where one session you just had policy bills to work on, and then another session you just work on the budget, because to me, to reset the budget every single year, that's really hard, sensitive, heavy conversations that need to be had, and sometimes when you have so many different policy bills floating around, it's hard to concentrate on the budget at the end of the year. So, you're starting to hear this growing sentiment at the Capitol that of people just grumbling, like, why don't we just set a budget and get out of here? It's every year you think it's going to be a quiet year, and then all of a sudden, you have more bills than you ever dreamt. I think we're over 500 bills now.
Whoa, that's a bunch. Yeah, and again, that doesn't even include just, does include a lot of just these routine things that we address, are there every year for you. We got to correct this one, or we got this error over here, or we've got a little adjustment here. Like you talked about some of the reorganization of schools. That is, it's been a while. I know I saw the press release from Representative Bain, indemnity on grain. You know, hasn't been touched in 40 years. Needs some tune-up.
Yeah, no, and of course, between the chambers, you just have slightly different opinions on each of those topics. I just talked about the U.S. Civics Bill. I can't believe how much time I've spent trying to negotiate a bill that seems simple on the surface, but just so much time and energy goes into negotiating that. In the beginning of that conversation, my House counterpart that was running the bill wanted 20 questions instead of 100. And I'm like, come on, let's move us forward. So much time and effort goes into it. And that's good. That's what the building's for. That's what we were elected to do. And it's really hard to get a bill to pass, but that's kind of the beauty of the system, is that bad ideas generally fail in an environment like that, and we have a lot to be grateful for.
So we got a lot of work going forward here. I know, again, outside of a couple of different things we could still be talking about, but did want to let you know or let you have time to talk a little bit about, because you got a big district to cover, so... Again, that's a lot of areas, and some of the things that a lot of people in Boone focus on might not be the same things that they're looking at over in the western part of Greene County. So, again, property tax, obviously, that's everywhere.
Oh, it's interesting when you go county to county how different each county is. Even in, quote, rural Iowa, like what the district I have, Guthrie County, you have Lake Panorama down there. That brings a whole new set of issues down there. You have those fights on is rural Guthrie County paying their fair share for the services that are countywide and whatnot, and in Greene County you have a unique situation with the casino and the Greene County Career Academy, and I just love that about this process, is that each county Board of Supervisors has their minds on different things, and I have to be in constant communication with them to make sure that that I'm a helpful asset for them.
Well, I know most of them are just going, we need to get our budget done, and we're looking at some reductions. So they do have concerns about what's happening, and I know you've talked about it in the past. We don't just go down there and say we're going to reduce property taxes without understanding there are implications for that. So we do.
Yeah, they definitely have concerns on how to get their budgets together. But overall, the last couple of years since these big property tax changes, I think the dust is settling, that people are getting more comfortable about it. And Boone County is in such a great situation with Daisy Dairy coming in. You're going to see huge growth in taxable valuations here in the county. And so long term, I just see nothing but great things happening on all levels of government and Boone County.
So do you ever hear some of the headline stories coming out of the House? I know one of the things that we have touched on before, you and I, is talking about, again, the use of eminent domain, and that we knew that the House had about half a dozen different bills pertaining to utilities, eminent domain, and Summit. And again, we'll see how they dance through that, because they're still working that through committees.
Yeah, the House has definitely have a lot more ideas than the Senate. For one, you have twice as many representatives, so you get twice as many ideas. But there's also, it seems to be more concern and interest over there as to the direction of the pipeline. I think that's probably because there's a little bit more support and leadership. But in the Senate, I'm really proud of some of the different bills that we have. There's not as many, but there's substantial ones. I feel I have the best one, but everybody probably feels they have the best one. But depending on the different political circumstances that come up, I think each bill may look more attractive than the other. And I like to bring this up a little bit. There's nothing that says that President Trump can't do an executive order and expedite those permits up in South Dakota for phase one of the Summit pipeline. And if that happens, And Trump is a very unpredictable personality. There's nothing that says he wouldn't do that. Doug Burgum supports the pipeline. Kristi Noem supports the pipeline. So in that type of scenario, if something like that happened, I firmly believe that I have the best bill in the Iowa Capitol because it exempts phase one, but it addresses all future pipelines. And I have a feeling the leadership would call me up right away and say, hey, Jesse, we're going with that bill if Trump were to do something like that.
Yeah, just so we get it in, so we get future. It can deal with the future issues that will be coming up.
Yep.
So. Jesse, I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us. I know you've had some people come down to visit, and that's great. You like doing that. Again, they make contact. Call beforehand or get a hold of your administrative assistant who can help.
My number is 515-351-9761. Just throw me a text if you're coming down to the Capitol, and either my clerk or I will take you up to the dome. And that's definitely one of the best experiences. And I need the exercise when I'm down there because it's really easy to gain weight this time of year down the session. So to go to the dome, it's helping my health out tremendously. So.
You get your steps in, yeah. Especially if you got to sit in those subcommittee meetings for a while and say, come on, let's keep going. Well, you got a lot of things to take care of, get through. So I do appreciate you taking time visiting with us. Look forward to talking to you again next time.
You bet. Take care, Jim. Thanks.